chapter 16. I'll get there myself, and then we'll pray and see what the Lord has for us. All right, why don't we open up in prayer here, and we'll begin. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the leaders that you put in place over us, Lord Father, to guide us, that you've entrusted to share the word with us, our pastor and our leaders in our church. I pray, Lord Father, that you be with our pastor and family as he's away, and be with us here as well. You're a big God. You can do it all, and we just ask, Lord, that you bless the service now. I pray, Lord Father, that you help calm my nerves. I pray, Lord Father, help just help me be the mouthpiece for you, and help others to see you, not me. It's not me that I want people to see. It's your word, and I just pray that they see that today, this morning. Pray, Lord Father, help bring clarity of thought to the message, and Lord, that person or persons that may be wavering to receive you as their Savior. Maybe they've never heard this thing about being saved or born again or the gospel, all these terms, Lord Father, they all have importance. And the decision of what they do with you, Lord, is the most important one they'll ever make in their life, whether they realize it or not. I pray that for that lost soul, that they would call on to you while they yet have breath, Lord, and be saved today. We just thank you so much. And for those that are saved, boy, we need encouragement, Lord. We all get beat down, and I just pray, Lord, that you prick our hearts to draw nigh to you again, Lord, if we need that. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, let me put this out there. This is first post-baby message, so if the thoughts don't make any sense, I'm sorry. So, I'm running on no sleep. Anyway, yeah, no, very thankful for Bella. I'm so glad we got her. Anyway, keep praying about that. But the message this morning is, it came from a devotion. I guess all my messages do that. Anyway, what do you savor? S-A-V-O-U-R. What do you savor? The things of God or the things of man? And let's look in Matthew 16. Let's begin reading in verse 21. And let's just read here. It says here in verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." Verse 22, "Then Peter took him," meaning he took Jesus, "and began to rebuke him," the Lord, "saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And in verse 23, "But he turned and said unto Peter," this is Jesus, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." In this passage here, the Lord rebuked Peter in response to Peter's rebuke very sharply for savoring in the things of man instead of the things of God. And before we get any deeper, let's define that word savor. What do I mean by that word? Savor means to delight in, to enjoy or even appreciate each item. So it's delighting in something. So with that in mind, how did Peter savor or delight in the things of man instead of the things of God in this passage? What is Jesus talking about? Peter, he only wanted to help prevent the Lord from suffering. That's the way he took it. He didn't want the Lord to suffer what Jesus said was going to happen. He didn't want the Lord to go to the cross. He didn't want the Lord to have to suffer this death. Be it far from thee, Lord. No. How can that be, in Jesus' word, manly or fleshly? Who wouldn't want to try and prevent someone from suffering? Seems like a noble and worthy cause. Brother Van Orman, can you hear me? Am I doing okay? The volume good? Okay. All right. How? Who would not want to help prevent somebody from suffering? Seems like a noble and worthy cause, right? Well, you have to consider Peter's response was based on his own emotion, his own desires, and his own will for the Lord. That's why he said what he said. That's why he did what he did. Peter was focused on himself at that point, on his own will, and not on the will of God. How do I know this? Had Peter truly been engaged and understood what Jesus was telling him, he would have never tried to prevent the Lord from going to the cross. He would have never rebuked his Lord, the Almighty God, the Creator. He rebuked the Lord. He would have never done that. Had he fully understood, if Peter was strong enough, which he's not, to prevent the Lord from going to the cross, he was preventing his own salvation. No crucifixion, no risen Savior. No hope for mankind. Again, I'm gonna by application, prick your hearts about taking from this passage, what do you savor in? What do you delight in? Do you delight in the things of God or do you delight in the things of man? And I'm going to try to share some things with you. You know, our actions, my actions, and our behavior will show you and everyone around you the things you savor in. It becomes evident. It comes out. You can hide it for a while, but eventually those heart issues come out. Those things that you delight in come out. Because sometimes you cannot hold your face from smiling, those things that bring joy. What do you savor in? Again, after Jesus' sharp rebuke of Peter, Jesus continues to explain. Look at Matthew 16. Let's read verses 24 now through 26. Jesus further continues after he rebukes him. Boy, you savor the things of man, not God. And he goes on with this. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus explains, whosoever loses his life for him, for Christ, gains. But whosoever saves his life loses. Let me phrase it this way, in context of what we're talking about. One who savors or delights in the things of God denies his flesh, denies his desires, denies her emotions, and tries to give none of them place to where only what's left is Christ, the things of God. Let me try to give you some perspective. You know, things of God. Boy, that's a broad category. That's a lot of things. I'm not going to give you an exhaustive list, but I'm going to go over a few. And they're all that you're familiar with. It's the big three that you hear just about every preacher or pastor or whoever gets up, or even in Sunday school. These three come up all the time. You could probably quote them right now and tell me. Church attendance, Bible reading, prayer time. Those are the big three. They're always mentioned. They're always preached. They're always taught. You don't know why? Because we neglect them. all the time. And we forget about them. And we fail to keep those a priority in our life. Maybe you have those three areas down already. You're like, you know what, check, 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 got them all. Well, let me ask you this to give you some perspective. And I am not picking on anybody. Please, I don't mean this as a whipping post, anything at all. But I'm looking at motivations, okay, just for a minute. Let me ask you this. Ask yourself this. Would you always prefer live stream over actual church attendance? I'm not saying because of Corona. I'm not saying because you're sick. I'm not saying X, Y, Z. No matter. I use it too. I've live streamed. I use it as a tool. It's a tool. But I'm getting down to the heart of the matter. Would you rather be alone live streaming or physically present here with the assembly? If you'd rather be alone live streaming, why? I'm looking at the heart. That's what I want you to get down to. What are you delighting in? Is something off there? Is it simply because it's more practical? Is it simply because it's more comfortable? I love sitting on my couch, sipping on coffee, watching Pastor preach. I enjoyed it. I'll be honest with you. It was great. I really enjoyed live streaming. I missed you all, but I was quite comfortable. But let me ask you this. Just because something's comfortable or practical, does it mean it's right? Does it mean it's the will of God? Could be, but it's not automatic. If you constantly make decisions based on comfort or practicality, you're going to miss the will of God a lot. You're going to be way off. The will of God can be practical. The will of God can be more comfortable, but not all times. That is not always the case. Matter of fact, if you read this Bible and you look at those who followed Christ, many times they did not look comfortable. Looks like things hurt for a while. Looks like they were tired a lot. Looks like they suffered some persecution. That's one area. Just picking on one area. The next one, Bible reading. Maybe you read daily devotions, and while you're reading those devotions, you keep thinking about all these other stuff. I've been there. It's hard not to, especially if you got responsibilities. You got a family. You got a job. Things are weighing on you. I understand that. But let's get down to the heart again. Are you that person, while you're reading your Bible, are you caught up in dream world? Man, I would rather be reading that hunting magazine right now. Or some novel. Or some fictional book. Or movie. Would you rather be doing something else while you're reading your Bible? That's a heart issue. That all of us. This guy right here, I struggle with that too. I'm flesh and blood. I'm a sinner. I need help. I'm trying to get down to the heart issue. What are you savoring? This is designed to be a means to check yourself, see where you are, right? In those moments, are you savoring the things of God or are you savoring the things of man? You know, what do you delight in? What brings you that joy, that excitement, right? And that's Bible reading. Okay, so we looked at church attendance. We looked at Bible reading. Here's another area. And this one I think is attacked probably most by the devil. There's power in our prayer, right? Is there any prayer time in your life at all? And it's not just for the food. I'm talking about just even a minute where you are confessing your sins to an almighty God. Is there any time of that? Is there any conviction where you're like, man, Lord, I failed you again. I'm sorry. Do things bother you? If they don't, we got problems. Is there any time where you just thank God for whatever's happening? Even little things. Maybe you got a good night's rest. Thank Him for it. Maybe you just missed this car that was about to hit you. I don't know. Little things can be things you can thank God for too. Do you talk to God is what I'm getting at. Can you be open and honest with Him? He will listen. You are never alone. Physically, you might be. You may not have another person around you, but you are never alone. God is right there. He wants you to be open and honest with Him. He wants you to share those times when you're not very happy with yourself. You're like, God, I'm not very happy with myself right now. I feel quite miserable, actually. Talk to Him. I'm not happy with my life. Talk to Him. You know, I even had this conversation one time. God, I'm not happy with you right now. I'm like, whoa, that's... I'm being honest with God. With my heart. Okay. I wasn't angry at Him and wishing evil on God, but I was telling Him how I felt inside. I'm hurting. I need help. Can you do that? Do you do that? Be honest with Him. And if you can't, why? Why can't you? Does something have your delight? Is it taking it away where you can't do that? Why is it that you can't be open with God like that? Do you know He already knows what's going on anyway? Might as well just tell Him. Might as well just tell Him. You know, I can go on and list numerous things that man can struggle with, that men can delight in. Versus the things of God, you know, and everybody's different. What affects Brother Ryan might not affect me, or vice versa. What are those things that you delight in, and it could be even good things, that can take you away from the things of God if the balance is off? You know, I don't know where your heart is. I only know where mine is most of the time. And then those times where I think I know where I'm right, and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty good. And then I crack open this book and I start reading. I'm like, oh, stinky heart. We got to get this cleaned up. I got some problems here, Lord. Here I am again. Oh, Lord, help me. Just know this. I don't know where your heart is, but I don't know what things you savor in that you shouldn't, but know this, that what you savor in will eventually come out. It will be seen. It'll be evident to others around you. Your actions and behavior will betray you. No matter how hard you try to hide it, it will eventually come out. It will paint a picture of what you delight in. The picture, as me, as an observer of you all this morning, here's a thought that comes through my mind. Wow. For all of you, in my mind, I'm thinking church was a priority today. You were healthy, you were able to come, so you came. That's as simple as some people's thoughts go. But I'm saying, people are watching. We adults, just like children, you know, and just like Peter, we can get caught up in things and delight in things that draw us away. and we miss the will of God. Just like children, a child, well, an adult or a child, doesn't matter. Ask anybody if they like to be told what to do. I don't. Sometimes it rubs you the wrong way, especially if it's contrary to what you want to do. We don't like to be told what to do. We don't like that stress of that. We want comfort. We want ease. I don't want to be told what to do. And in our mind, we think that's the better way. When the Word of God tells us, no, no, there's times we need correction, right? We need that, even if it's subtle, hey, ooh, I don't think you want to go there, child. No, no, don't go there. No, 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 don't go there. What's better is usually harder. What's better is more stressful usually. But it is better most likely because it's the will of God. And the blessings will come. I'm not saying you become a Christian and all your problems are over in life. That is not what this Bible teaches. It does teach, however, if you become a Christian, you become born again, you become saved, all these terms. When you repent and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, He does promise to be with you. He does promise to guide you. He does promise to show you things of how to live this life victoriously in what He says is victorious. Don't let the world tell you what's victorious. Look what this says is victorious. Finishing the race. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let me make it real, real personal, just for a quick moment. I can't share too much because it'll choke me up too much. But Krista and I didn't know that it would take 12 and a half years for baby to come. But she's here. And you know what God is saying? You just trust me, and I'll take care of you. And He does. You just, Sean, you just keep delighting in those things I tell you to delight in. No matter what. You just delight in me, and I will take care of it. What do you delight in? If it's not the things of God, why? What's drawing you away? This world, oh, it's so fast. There are times I wish I had a big pause button. I could be like, just jump on it and be like, make it stop. The cell phone keeps going off. The work, the emails. We live in this rat race of just constant. It's like the faster we can make it happen, we got to do it. And we think that's the best way all the time. It's not always the best way. We need to come apart before we come apart sometimes, as Pastor Rhodes used to say. Anyway, I'm going to end up rambling. You know, I'm not that long of a preacher. I hope I clarified some things of what's going on in the heart of Sean. I try to be open and honest with you, all of you, all of you. What do you delight in? What do you savor in? And if it's not the things of God, trust me, we're going to see it. If that's not motivation enough, God already sees it. And He knows right where you are. And He wants you to talk to Him. And He wants you to pour your heart out to Him. Tell Him how you're feeling. Tell Him where you're struggling. Again, you are never alone. If physically no one's around you, you are not alone. God is right there. He's right there. I'm going to ask Brother Jordan to take over the invitation, so I'm going to turn it over to him. Thank you for your patience with me and listening. I love you all.